What are you doing here?
The fuck is this place, man? You live here? I have some questions for you.
Please go or I'll call the police.
Go ahead, call the police. What are you gonna tell them? What are you gonna tell them, man? Why'd you come looking for me?
I don't know. I needed to know.
Yeah, okay. But when you called my house, you talked to my wife. Why'd you do that?
Early May. Just as hate knows love's the cure, you can rest your mind assured that I'll be loving you always. Cause now I can't reveal the mystery of tomorrow, but in passing we'll grow older every day.
And welcome to the Unnamed Movie Podcast. This
I
is
am
Andrew.
High.
And you are welcome.
Thank you.
You're also welcome. You're also hired.
Yeah, I tend to be.
How is he both time. Of them now?
The same way Apple's new operating system is called Hi Sierra, which, oh boy. That company tries very hard to have me not buy anything from them.
Did Omar Sharif respond to it?
They seem to be going out
only
on their
I get that joke.
Right.
So and it's still not that good a joke.
I don't know what. Speaking of which, the Catastrophe yeah. Lady has a new show on HBO called Divorce.
Oh, I've watched that show.
I
like
that
show.
That she
she's,
had a,
is she the friend?
I assume that show wouldn't be good.
I
is
don't
it
remember
good?
Seeing her in
she's,
there.
Yeah.
No, man.
She was on a late night talk show talking about it. So she's clearly on. And she's the one writing the show.
Oh, that's probably what. She's writing it, but mm-hmm. she's not in it.
She's not in it?
You've yeah, seen I've seen it. Because it's actually finished. The season is over. It was a decent show. Mm-hmm. It now makes sense why I like it so much, because it's Sarah Jessica Parker, who I generally don't like. But that show was pretty good. I have to tell you, it was
Sarah
pretty good.
Jessica Parker?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's decent.
Well, we're not here to
and
talk about Sarah Jessica
best,
Parker.
But
no,
it's decent.
It can be Catastrophe.
Yeah. We're here.
Yes.
To we're talk square. About a film.
Mm-hmm.
A film.
Flim. A film.
Flim.
Douglas by the name,
you know it's Flim Douglas.
By the name of Buster's Malheart.
Buster has managed to evade capture for years. The identity of the mountain man remains a mystery.
Can you say it?
Uno.
Dos. Two.
I know that the Holy Father exists. And I know that he loves us.
You didn't graduate high school? How'd you get this job?
Showed him
Buster. The name's bad.
Trace
it's a bad
Buster.
Name.
Buster.
Buster it's has a bad heart.
Yeah, it's a bad.
Right,
name.
Mm-hmm. Douglas, you brought this film to the
yes,
table.
Yes, I did.
Mm-hmm.
Tell us, what's this movie about?
So this movie is—it's a weird movie, and yes. it's definitely segmented. It's kind of—I kind of see it in three. Pieces. Mm-hmm. The two pieces are constantly being interwoven. Actually, let's say four pieces, and three of them are constantly being interwoven. And then there's just a final piece.
You're confusing
that
yourself.
Does crazy things. But essentially, you have this movie is spread over about three different timelines. You'll have a timeline where Buster, who's played by, I think his name is Rami Malek,
yes.
Who I love because
still
that show sucks.
Two,
I love
everyone. Everyone shat on season two so hard. I was just afraid.
Yeah, but listen, it's.
But I love season one.
Yeah, I don't even know how to grade what my love is for anything anymore, any of that anymore, because once more, once I love it, the right. first piece, it's just going to continue.
Me a lot of rings, exactly. More of what the thing.
Exactly. Right. Anyway, so Rami Malek is the lead in this movie,
yes.
And he has a few timelines going back and forth. One is him as a family man, you know, trying to make a little bit of money, work mm-hmm. hard so that he can, you know, live the dream. the other one is clearly sometime way later, right. The dream has fallen apart. He's a mountain man, big, very much Edgar Wright sort of big bushy beard.
Right. A man that has lost.
Yes. And he is kind of just roaming around and doing some crazy ass shit.
It's pretty good.
And they're saying Damien's future.
Pretty much.
Boy, I wish.
And then
with no snow. I don't know if Jamaica isn't big enough for me to get away with it that long. But I couldn't do it in snow. Can't.
And then there's kind of like a third bit that pops up every once in a while. That almost implies that he could be in a different... It could be a different timeline, or it could be a different mind space sort of thing that they have him in. And that, in a way, could be interwoven with what I consider to be the fourth part, which is the very end of this movie. Yes. So, this movie, it's one of those where it's not for the weak of the faint of heart. You need a good heart to watch the bad heart. But I like it. I enjoy this kind of thing. It in a way it reminds me of The Double. From
Don't say that.
What? Well, that I know you don't sucks. Like The Double. I love The Double.
Oh, hold on. What? Do you not like The Double, Damien?
He doesn't like The Double.
We spoke about
yeah,
this.
I've blanked it from my mind because you should love The Double. The Double is
yeah,
awesome.
I was told that from both of you. And then you're like, Damien, it's out. We have to watch The Double.
Is so good.
Damien, you should watch it again.
But
watch
anyway,
it again. No, so good.
I'm fine.
From a, kind of an absurdist point of view, not necessarily the visuals, because the visuals in this movie are more kind of indie sort of straightforward visuals. But from the storytelling and how they try and piece everything together, that absurdist piecing together of a story, it kind of reminds me of The Double in that okay. From that perspective, and I liked in a way the back and forth that kind of forced you to try and figure out how did you go from one to the next, right? How did you first you had to kind of decide what is now, right? Mm-hmm. Are we talking about, or not even just what is now, what is real? Mm-hmm. Is it that these two things are real? Is it that one is real? Is it that there's a time gap? And it takes a little while for you to, not necessarily realize, but for it to be revealed to you mm-hmm. that it's that it is a time gap and mm-hmm. you have a pre and a post.
Is
a
now
big
then
event.
Or
exactly.
Is then now?
Exactly. And for you to kind of piece together what happened to break this man and to put him in this mental space where he's talking about flying through the butthole and going out the mouth
mm-hmm.
Is kind of cool. And what I like too is there is a heavy implication in this film about what is real and what is not. And there are certain things that tie all three or four kind of pieces or fragments together that help to support one way or the other, depending on how you decide to view it, what is actually happening, what is not happening, where is this guy, and what is the real story. And I kind of like, I like that ambiguity, and I've definitely taken a position on what is happening and what isn't. But I like the, you know, I always kind of like these ambiguous, weird, can't quite put a finger on what's happening kind of film. And that's pretty much what this is.
Right, you don't like answers.
He likes essays. He likes when he goes to the exam and they're like, tell us a story about how this is going.
Bullshit me until I become so bored that I give you an A.
This is a movie. No, I do not. This is a movie where I definitely have to bring out the Guilliamometer. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't rank exceedingly high on the Guilliamometer. It's probably in the middle.
Given that he's in the news this week, like, it's nice that you brought up his name.
It's true. Right. Though, I have to tell you, I am about 167% certain that there will be a random freak fire at the Don Quixote factory. And all of his film will be burned. And it will be, I was saying this to Andrew, you know, in those movies, those shitty comedy movies where, or sometimes cartoons as well, where somebody's really sad and there's rain that just, it's just on them and it just follows them wherever they go.
Right.
That's what this fire is going to do. Right. This fire is literally going to burn every single speck of celluloid that he has touched. And then everything else in the storage room, everything else all over the place, it's going to be fine.
Right, it won't hurt anybody, but everything he did, every camera, every reel of film, gone forever. Mm-hmm.
But I'd say this weighs more on the positive side. If we were talking about a score out of 18...
Oh, we're going back to Busta now.
Yeah, back to Busta. If we're talking about a score out of 18, because a Guilliamometer can't be out of just like 10 or 5.
Like not even 11.
Not even 11. It's like 13
cats out of 18.
About there. Yeah.
That sounds right.
Yeah.
That's what I give it. 13 grown men crying out of 18.
13 rain clothes following people.
13 Jabberwockies out of 18 time bandits. Right. All right.
Oh, man. Oh, wow. Busta's Mal Heart is a holy piece of shit.
I felt this coming.
Yeah. I feel there's a trend this year. And so much so that I went to our spreadsheet and I decided to filter by Douglas.
Hold on. One thing. Before we get into the Douglas bashing, which I know is going to happen.
Yes.
I just want to at least put it on record that I was approached by Andrew because I hadn't picked my movie.
Yes, this one came in late.
So Andrew came to me and he was like, pick your movie, goddammit. And I was like, well, let me think about it. And I was like, listen. Just pick Busta's Mal Heart. I really want to watch that movie.
That's so not like, exactly so like, how it went down.
Yeah. So just before you think that I'm fully to blame for this, this fella had a strong hand in.
I mean, you didn't pick your movie. We have a spreadsheet, no. We were 3 days out. You didn't pick a movie.
But I don't spreadsheet. I don't spreadsheet.
You don't spreadsheet.
No. I could be...
You could Excel.
I could be...
I'm sorry, I don't have a SharePoint servo.
All right, and you did it for the dots. Yeah.
So I could be persuaded. And for the
waves. Uh-huh. Remember the waves? Yes, remember when we had waves?
I could be persuaded to use a website. So you worked
in mysterious ways.
A website that Andrew create, so, you know, for like games that we... Wait, no, he doesn't do that. He does that for other podcasts.
That's never happened.
Yeah.
We don't have that technology.
Other podcasts.
Douglas, where would we get that technology from?
I don't know. It's impossible.
You can't afford me.
Right.
So I send emails and WhatsApps.
Uh-huh. Right. So I pulled up the spreadsheet and I filtered by Douglas.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And I'm just looking at the movies for this year.
Right.
Right. Let's step back week by week.
Yep.
This week we have Busta's Mal Heart.
Yep.
Last week we had Der Samurai. Yeah.
Oh, Jesus.
Yeah, that was horrible.
The week before we had Girl Asleep.
Yep.
I like that movie.
No, you don't.
A lot.
That's a lie.
Before that was Double X.
Double X. Oh, that movie's the great, XX. Though. The XX, yeah.
That's the one with the women.
Yeah, I
enjoyed that.
Woman you horror did not. Movie.
Before that, I don't feel at home in this world.
Yeah.
Right?
You're on your own with that. Good.
The Netflix.
It's good that you don't remember that one.
I like that movie. That movie's good.
And the thing that I can point out to like most of these picks, right? Like at least 3 or 4 of those that I've listed, is that... They're not necessarily god-awful movies.
Yeah, you just but don't want to watch them.
No, but they're just weaker versions, imitations of other movies we love.
Yep.
Right? And this is one of them. Douglas brought up the double, Right, and I could name like three other movies that I like which are in this vein of filmmaking. Like the other one that came to mind really strongly was Enemy. Right? And it feels like someone who really liked Denis Villeneuve movies and all of those style of filmmaking and weird science fiction / psychological thrillers. But at the end of the day, all he has is Rami Malek before and after. Right? And you say that you're confused by this. There's absolutely nothing that confuses me about this movie. This movie is very simple.
No, it's bad at the beginning.
I didn't say I was
and it's
confused.
Bad at the end.
I said it was presented in an obfuscating way. I just don't want to spoil.
I'm not going to talk about the end or any insights into what this movie is. I'm not going to talk about like the actual reveal of to what is the before and after. But let's just put it out here. As the resident, I don't know what's happening in movies. I call it out like 2 seconds into the movie.
I don't know what's happening in this movie.
And the film on its own merits, right? The just watching Malik before and after, watching him be the good working employee, where I'd love to talk to Damon about this, right? Working late at nights in the hotel, checking in guests, and
tending to their needs
and being as presentable a young gentleman as he can be.
I did that. Right?
While you can see him being like upset at the fact that he has to stay up at nights, can't be with his family, all of these things, all of it just felt, it felt like the movie had me believing in tropes of other movies rather than being interested in this specific character, right? Like it was a guy who I knew from other places rather than Rami Malek actually presenting an interesting character that I was now invested in him and his own struggle as to what he was going through. And then of course there's the wilderness shit, which kind of throws a cog in the wheel where you're just sitting there and you're going like, why the fuck is all this wilderness going on, and is he doing bad things, or is he just a man in the bush, just trying to live?
The bush.
He's on a walkabout.
And it just felt weak, right? That's the whole thing about it. It's a movie that feels like there are stronger versions of it, and it's one of those films where you walk away from it that, I don't know, maybe if you've never seen those movies, you might think this is fantastic or glorious. But
I've never seen those movies.
I can only imagine that anyone else is just kind of like, meh, I'll go and watch the other ones I like more. Damien?
Andrew just shit on this movie.
Yeah, he did.
Hard.
Damien, did Rami Malek capture the pathos of your life as it was for like 10 years?
It's been a long time since I've liked a movie that Andrew is just 100%. He's just dual middle fingers and just FTM banners just waving. I really like this movie.
Oh, fuck you.
Here's the thing though. I knew coming here that there's a chance. I knew it wouldn't come from Douglas. Right? Douglas was going to backpedal his way out of
he's
saying,
going to moonwalk.
Right. He's going to first make a statement. He's like, I like this movie. And then move us far away from that line to avoid whatever backlash happens after the other people go, nah, you've lost your goddamn mind. But I watch this movie and while watching it, and especially when it was over, I went, this movie isn't good, but,
but,
exactly, but, I like this movie.
Yeah.
I enjoy Rami Malek's performance. He's outstanding. The person I like more than him, though, is his little daughter. That is the most realistic child I've seen in a movie for a long ass time.
Damien, I don't know if you had the same response that I had, but there are at least, I can recall, 2 moments in this movie where they just kind of, the camera lingers on her, and you expect something awful to happen.
Yeah.
And it doesn't.
A couple times. There's one point with that where she's like, where he's like fully fast asleep. And she's like, wake up, daddy. I'm like, oh, this is where this happened. Yeah. And then they're like, no, dog.
And then there's another time in the pool.
Yeah.
Where,
She's like on the steps. And they're like, you two lunatics. And... But they didn't do that. They did something way worse.
Yup.
Cause. And so once you find out the thing that happens to him, I went, oh, this is Manchester by the Sea. Just. And then, so the thing happened, and then you can see, oh no, he's justified into becoming this wilderness man, because the thing he was living for is now no longer. And
then they kind of play with that.
Right. And then, so the entire time I was watching it, I enjoyed, like this movie felt specific to me in a lot of ways. There's the fact that he's working the night shift in a hotel, which for the most part is 100% accurate. You deal with some nice people, but mostly awful people, and you don't have a lot to do.
He watched a lot less sports than I imagine you'd do.
Yeah, but this was in... This movie was set before 2000. So it makes sense. Right? There's no internet. But you couldn't keep every song you've ever heard or will ever hear on one device. That technology wasn't there. So I can see why he was bored as shit. And then... watching him struggle at home with his in-laws, that also felt true to life. And him kind of lashing out whenever he and his wife didn't see eye to eye. And like, there's a scene when they went to a Mormon church. I went, you guys are picking on me, right? Like, this is a joke. Like, you guys are doing this. But then the movie, because it's a movie, decides, well, we can go anywhere we want and do anything we feel like. And there's a conspiracy happening. And they spin that out way further than it needed to go by the time the movie ended. And I don't like the ending of this movie because, like all ambiguous movies, they do not give me any answers. So I have to pick a side.
You have to bring your own answer.
No, the problem with that is... someone else will pick something else.
And then they'll be wrong.
Right, and then they're going to be wrong about the movie.
Yeah.
Right, which is why after I watch this again, if I decide to actually keep this movie, I will edit out the ending of this movie. I want that in my movie.
Source Code Part 2?
Yep. Many a movies have gotten many a cuts towards the end. Turns out ending a movie is difficult.
But then we'd get into the same problem we got into last week, where you come on here and talk to us about how Bogle is the best song on the album, and you trick all of us into thinking that...
Andrew said that, and I went home, I'm like, do I have it in there? 100% of it. And I didn't even do the thing what most people do, I like, tack it on to the end, because that album is basically dancehall, and then, like, reggae towards the back half. I just put it right in the middle. So it's like, and then change the track numbers on the other ones. It was like number 9A is like, this is the new number 9. And the rest of you are pushback. I'm never going to stop doing that. So. It's my music. I don't give a shit.
Bujo's music.
Nope. He's in prison. This is mine. A public good at this point. But there is a chunk towards the end where he's holding some people hostage. And that is where I realized that. Right, that is where I realized that. Even if I was trying, because I was enjoying all of the movie, and then when it got there, I'm like, I think I might love this movie.
Damien, that was a great situation because you had this old woman who, and this old man, and the old man had either dementia or Alzheimer's or something in that family. And you saw this old woman in this sort of calamity. She recognizes that, first of all, she's an old woman and she can't defend herself against this young strapping man. Also, even if she wanted to, runaway. He has a gun. Mm-hmm. Yeah, he has a gun, but even if she wanted to run away or anything like that, she has her husband, the husband that doesn't know what is going on. And
keeps bringing back memories that doesn't have anything to do with the situation.
And so you see her kind of holding back her fear, having a shit eater's grin, and being very polite to this young man. Things like, you know, excuse me, sir, perhaps we should talk about potentially me being released. And then slam the door on her.
There's a point where she's like, I'm going to be stern. Look, young man. And then he starts taking off his pants and just the sheer.
Oh,
she was just.
Can you imagine what going through her head at that point? Like she's like, oh, she's no. Like,
oh. Oh, boy. And when I saw that part, I'm not going to lie. For a second, I'm like, wait a second. Listen, movie. This will be just one of the best endings to a movie. Because the entire time you were just
what?
Like. Because, no, think about it. The movie was set up the entire time. You're like, he's the good guy. Right? But if they have him do that, no. Then that calls into question everything you saw for the first half. Like, that's a bait and switch to M. Night would cry if they... He's like, I can't do a twist like that. I've been got.
I like the change in her face because you can see that, like, it never occurred to her. She had in her mind...
She's like, this is the worst. No, this is it.
It's like she had in her mind that I've made it 80 years out without this happening to me. There's no way that's going to happen to me, no. Right, I've gone past that age where thing happens to me.
Like, she's like, he's feeding me whatever. She's just like, listen, I'm an old woman, right? I don't have to take this shit. Look, young man, and then just terror, just absolute the horror on her face.
You're an evil person.
And the transition from anger to fear,
to just,
and then to
just and then just
she was great.
Yeah,
she
like the relief on her face as he was closing the door. Like the movie, well done.
Movie's still bad,
but when the movie ends, no. Listen, I know that there's people that will watch this movie and go, nah, son. And for the reasons that you said, it feels like other movies. Yeah. And there's better movies.
Both of us, while you were talking, both of us were like, okay.
Yeah. Right. And that is why I was afraid to come and talk. Because I still want to watch this movie again to see if it will stay as part of the 1,000. Right? Because I really do enjoy this movie.
1K movies. That's all that will exist in the world.
Right, but talking... I was afraid that talking about this movie would slip into... I don't think I like this movie. And when Douglas was talking, there was a second there, I was like, do I like this movie? And then... But it was good because Andrew just came in with both middle fingers. And then I just went into defensive mode. Like, fuck Andrew. He's not right. He's wrong. That's what he is.
I love how it's gotten to the stage now where if I like a movie, Damien's like, should I really like
this movie? Do I like this movie? Douglas did pick this. And he does like it. And he is wrong all the time.
But this movie's it's a good movie.
Like, this movie feels like, and we say this all the time, like back when we used to watch TV, the movie channel, like you saw this on the movie channel, you'd be like, this is a movie channel ass movie. Like, it's not a blockbuster and it's not so indie that it doesn't make any sense. It's just right there in the middle. And you go, yeah, I can watch this. If this said made by Netflix, I'd have gone, oh, yeah, of course. Of course, Netflix made this. But I did, with the exception of the end, because the end feels like a cop-out. Because you can read into it that a lot of things, and the easiest thing to do to be read, just as, like, the thing that Andrew assumed guessed would happen at the beginning. And I despise movies and TV shows that use that at the end to justify any other madness before.
Lost is fantastic.
Listen, let's not do this. Right? Don't. It's too late in the night. But all of the parts fit together, all of the performances worked. It was filmed effectively. There are some dumb shit because the movie plays around with time and space and reality. But on a whole, his performance just holds the movie together. And so I enjoy it. And I will watch it again. I'll give it some time and watch it again. And if I like it, you guys will definitely hear about it. Because I'm going to come here and scream at Andrew for being wrong. Right now, it's just his opinion. The it's next time, he might be. I might come back and go, nah, dog. That movie sucks. I'll come back and go, as usual, Andrew Ross is correct. He did shocking turn of events.
I've been right a lot this year.
Yeah, you have. It's it sucks. It really does.
Damien secretly don't likes horror movies. Soon enough, he'll come around to musicals.
You live in a fantasy land that I'd like to visit one of these days.
Yeah. It feels like a good year so far.
Mm-hmm.
Anything else anyone wants to say about this movie? No? Wrapping it up because the movie Pepper sucks.
Almost beat him too.
All right. I want to talk about Wonder Woman.
Wonder Woman!
The eBay of comic book movies.
Yep. She's not on Amazon. Would explain that joke, but that's fine.
Yeah,
that's for us.
I think you just did.
Yeah, that's for us. It's not a deep joke.
No, it's not.
But that's not why we're laughing.
It's also not a good joke.
Yeah, that's not why we're laughing.
So Wonder Woman came out, guys. Yes. Another comic book movie.
Yes, the 9 millionth.
But this is the first female-led comic book movie.
That's incorrect. Catwoman was the first female-led comic book. The whole world seems to have forgotten that. The whole world was just like, that didn't happen. I keep seeing write-ups. They're like, finally, a female coming back.
Holy I'm just shit. Like,
wait a second, world.
Damien. In 1990,
yes,
there was a Captain America movie.
Uh-huh.
Douglas and I saw it. Yeah, because we watch that movie a lot.
Yeah, we
it
did.
Is bad.
It's yeah,
the right? worst.
Uh-huh.
No one talks about that. I they just talk about modern it. Marvel movies.
Yeah, but no one says when they got that is the first male.
No, they said this is the first Captain America
yeah,
movie.
Yeah, but they're wrong. If they said that, they're wrong. That is how facts work. Listen,
I don't you're know not what going you're talking to about.
Listen, facts. I know this is Trump's America, but I still deal fake in
news.
Facts.
You're fake news, Damien.
Just right up after, right, because the movie was successful and I was happy. I'm like, oh, good, because I did enjoy the movie. But it was peace after all over the three sites I read on the internet. They're like, finally. I'm like, hey, guys, we had a female led comic book movie before.
They weren't called comic book movies back then. They were just Halle Berry films.
They were called Batman spin-offs.
That this is how bad that movie is. It was a woman of color starring in a big budget comic book movie, and the whole world just went, that didn't happen. Right? I brought this up when they're like, finally a Black Panther movie, black people in comic books. And I stopped the person with, hey, Catwoman came. And, like, she crumbled in front of me. Like, Jesus Christ. He's right.
All right. Like, all right. Moving along. We're talking about Wonder Woman.
Yeah, the first
successful female-led comic movie.
How much money did it? Catwoman, me. And the box office mojo help.
Mm-hmm. So we all went to go and watch Wonder Woman.
Yes.
Douglas got to go and listen to the song again.
Uh-huh.
Because that's what he was excited for.
I love that song.
Damon and I got to go and see a lady punch men in the face.
Which is always. There's many a website I visit to watch this.
Are those that's fetish websites?
That's sheer too much. All websites are fetish websites. This
one. So yeah, Wonder Woman.
Yes.
I quite like this movie.
It's really good.
Like I have a few problems with it, but
it's
I don't.
It's a comic book movie. Right. Problem number one.
Problem number one. Like, so I love the vibe of the movie.
Yes.
Right. So from the first 2/3 of this movie, mm-hmm. perfect to me. Right.
Yeah.
it is just the Wonder Woman story leading up. Mm-hmm. There is Chris Pine, who does the best at just being that guy.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah. He has a nice watch.
Yeah, he has a nice watch.
Yeah.
He tells dumb jokes. He's there to be the punchline most times. And weirdly enough, you know, one of the scenes that really got me with him, which is, I think of it as a funny scene. I don't know about you guys, but early on when he just appears and the women interrogate him mm-hmm. by holding him with the lasso,
right.
with the rope of mm-hmm. truth, and just watching him resist to eventually being like, I'm a spy! I thought that was hilarious.
A lot
just of the way that he let that roll out.
The movie is incredibly well written. Zack Snyder wrote on that movie. It feels impossible, that is. Although 300 was also funny.
300
was but he took most of that from the book.
The Frank Miller copy.
Yeah, this is not from any book. They just made shit up.
What do you mean it's they not have from any book?
Lots of
there
books.
There are lots of books that they have.
But there's not a single book that all of the... like, 300, he was panel for panel. He shot that movie. This one, he'd have to... like, all his other movies... they have to like bring them up together. And the thing that
I'm
I will
sure
say about
they
Zack Snyder movie,
they filled all of the they filled IBM Watson with every single Wonder Woman comic,
right.
and they said, Watson, just mash it up.
Listen,
do a mashup.
Listen,
and that was the script.
I need jokes that are in the 90th percentile. Give me those. Watson spit out a script. Good enough, Watson.
Is it sad that so you guys are going crazy over this movie? And
at no
honest,
point did anyone we say we like the movie.
Is no, this one said he loves this movie.
Okay, I'm not there.
I love the vibe
the,
of this movie.
The world is going super crazy over this movie,
mm-hmm.
and I like this movie. It's decent.
This movie is getting a director's cut.
But
you're going to do what I want to do, which is just take out the whole last fight.
No, I enjoy fight, and the fire in that last scene is pure. Oh, CG fire! That's some of the best looking CG fire I've seen in a while. I'm cutting off the Bruce Wayne parts.
Oh, those were unnecessary.
Yeah, I don't need that. Yeah, I don't need any of that.
I didn't care.
Yeah, exactly, and that is why I'm going to cut them off. No
actually,
one will even recognize
to
that.
To tell
they're
the
missing.
Truth, Andrew, it's a better movie.
Yeah. One. Yeah, no one will... then it will just be a singular Wonder Woman movie.
The only reason that they have
the
that
world.
Is... exactly, it's because they know that there's an... I almost said Avengers.
Yep, there's DC
Do you
Avengers.
Know what DC Avengers is called? What is the
Justice
DC Avengers?
League
there's
of
a Justice
Justice
League movie coming out. So that's the only reason they had those two scenes.
Just Ice.
Just Ice.
I'm also cutting out the new DC logo. I'm cutting that.
Okay.
Because it's a bad logo.
Yeah. I don't even remember what it looks like.
Yeah, exactly.
But...
you know, the Marvel one is cool because they overlaid a lot
panels,
of comic books.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that. This one, I don't.
What, is it like a penis or something?
Yeah. Yep.
Okay.
Makes sense. And you know, in Jamaica, we can't do that.
The ball sack and then I don't know how you get the dick.
Stop
but,
talking.
You know.
The D.
The D.
Yep. All that D.
I guess. All that D.
And you put it in the C, huh?
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Ah,
you're right. Okay. That was maybe a little too far. But
oh, no. Oh, that is the line?
Yeah, that's the line.
Fair
that's
enough.
Where
okay,
I'm
putting
line.
It.
Yeah. The line is in between the D and the C. All right. So...
pretty sure that's a taint.
Well, I think we need a minute. I think we need a minute of silence just to kind of bring ourselves back to like some form of sense.
Andrew,
from being 13 years old.
I know you keep telling us this, but do people really listen to this podcast?
I listen to this.
If people cannot actually last more than 10 minutes when they hear nonsense.
Listen,
that
I do a lot of editing.
People listen to it so much, he's continually conning people into coming onto this podcast.
Some people more than once.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Some people don't learn.
They just want good dancehall songs.
Yep.
Yeah. But as I said to you about this movie, I find it weird that everybody has this intense love for this movie. I like it, you know, but is it the bestest of the bestest, which is pretty much what everybody's saying. No, it's fine.
Yeah, but it's new. It's not just macho men punching each other in the face. They're told a different story. Finally.
Did they tell a different story? Yeah. No, they didn't.
They did. Yeah.
It's a superhero story. Uh-huh. And there's
how many are the other superhero movies do every single person at all times doubt the fact that the superhero is capable of winning a fight? This is the only one. Batman shows up, everyone's like, oh shit, Batman.
The thing about it for me is that's not a part of the core story. So that's, for me, that's filler. That's extra fluff. But
that's actually a good point. Never thought about that.
Yeah, and actually, I was reading an article today. Probably was The Verge, because...
You should stop reading Verge.
Because... No, it wasn't The Verge. It referenced The Verge. I think it may have been in The Times or something. I can't remember.
One of the, who cares?
But
the internet.
It was somebody... It wasn't The Times. It wasn't something as fancy. Somebody, though, got real upset about how much people love this movie. And they were like, clearly you guys don't see what I see. Mm-hmm. And what you just said a while ago is something that they referenced. They were like, listen, sure, it's female-led, which is great. But...
Mm-hmm.
And they cited things like, do you have a movie where at every step of the way she's being questioned? How is that empowering and this and that and the other? But either way, I thought that was an interesting take. But
I mean, it was in the 1940s.
Right? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like, women had very few rights. And you can't... Mm-hmm. Like, I understand why the world is built like that. Mm-hmm. But it's the first one that I've seen where that
and
is
of course,
the case.
She referenced how Gal Gadot had to... Mm-hmm. Is it Gadot or Gadot? Yeah.
I think it's Gadot.
No one gives, sure.
Listen.
she needs to get her English
listening.
Name.
She's listening. Right. She's emailing. Change your name, right?
About how,
something I can't pronounce.
About how sexualized she was during the whole movie, which was going
she
to happen.
She is a beautiful
right?
woman.
She is, yes.
It is very hard to not get that.
I think she's as sexualized as just being a beautiful woman.
Yeah.
Right? Mm-hmm. Exactly. Where it's like that moment that you look at, where you look and you realize, no, she's pretty.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right. I mean, in your head, you sexualize her for a minute. Right. And you're because like, oh shit, she can kill me. I'll stop that now.
Even though, even the secretary lady there, she's like, oh yeah, glasses. Yeah, because that's going to make her not the most beautiful woman.
I thought that was a great joke. Like, they're like, fuck you, Superman. Yeah. I love it. But yeah, this movie was decent. It kind of reminded me of Iron Man.
What about Catwoman?
It actually reminded me a lot of Captain America.
What about Catwoman?
Right?
No, it didn't remind me of Captain America. That is very that's disrespectful. So, what were you saying?
It reminded me a lot of Captain America.
Yeah.
World War II.
Not just that. First of all, it's not World War II.
World War III?
It was the Great War.
It's the Great War. It's the war before
World War
they. Four? It's a war before they realized they had to number them.
It's World War V.
Okay.
Six.
You mean Trump's war?
Oh, it's Battlefield 1. Sorry, it's my
right. Right, it's Battlefield 1.
That was
one.
A joke I was getting to. You guys are like, Damien, it's not World War II. No shit.
Because so much of her demeanor, her action, reminded me of Captain America, of a person sitting out of time who. Like, she definitely didn't have, like, the ice over nonsense. She just was grown up elsewhere and didn't have to deal with horse shit.
On a magic island called Jamaica.
And then she was thrust into that world of sexism and nonsense.
Mm-hmm. Hey, careful how you're thrusting into sex. Okay?
How do you have sex?
Jen.
ask a stupid question. Get a really good answer.
And all of the times that she walked into this world, she walked into it with open arms. Like, she went into it going like, look, I know I'm from elsewhere. I know there are other shit going on. We just need to get this war done. But I'll follow you for the moment. Mm-hmm. Right? She walks into, like, the war room where all the men are debating. And you see the men go, you can't be in here.
I just wanted one harumph. Movies. All right, listen, movies. I know you're serious movies.
But anytime there's a scene like that, just have we have the Wilhelm scream in all sorts of movies. I just need one harumph.
But the thing about this movie too was that was
exactly. So it doesn't have to mix it. Yeah. Just like while they're murmuring, I just need one. 90% of the world won't get it. That is fine.
But the thing about this movie is that it was not 100%. There were a lot of jokes, and actually, that's I quite liked some of the. Oh, I don't know anything about this world jokes.
Yes.
Like when she'd walk in and be like, huh?
And but there's actually some weirdly interesting about that to me. So recently, like, I mean, I kind of knew this was a thing in movies, but this is the first time I heard like a name for it. Mm-hmm. I was watching some video and someone talked about this trope in films that he titles Born Sexy Yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Right? He referenced films like Tron Legacy, Splash, Mermaid, all that shit. Where basically the women exist, go into this new world, and they're have no idea of what the world works, and their only attribute to the world is that they're good looking. So they're born sexy, and they're born yesterday, and they're just lost within the world. And anything you tell them is true to them, right? You tell them that the fork is for their hair, they're like, yeah, that's why it works, right? And you just think it's cute because, oh, she doesn't know things. And there's so many times in this movie where it feels like it wants to lean into that at first. And then you can see her spot the bullshit and hit that down right quick. And I love that so much. Right? So it starts out going into that. Like, it's going to be, oh, I don't know what a secretary is. And what is that? Mm-hmm. Oh, you're a slave.
No, that's...
right?
You're a
slave. He's trying to protect her from the fight, and she goes, nope, don't worry about that.
Yeah.
So deals with that quickly. And I just love that the way the movie pulled this off. In the same way, Douglas, you talked about watching the new Star Wars movie, right? Mm-hmm. When we sat down and we rewatched The Force Awakens, where it finds its own way to introduce the idea.
The Force Awakens or the
Force Gareth Awakens?
Edwards
movie. Not the Gareth Edwards, okay. The Force Awakens. Where it finds this interesting way to start the movie to go, look, oh no, he has to save her because she's a girl, and then spend immediately going, nope, it's fine. It's fine. She's all right. This is going to be the movie where we're not going to have any of that. Or at least we're going to have it only in the relationship side where he wants to save her not because, oh, she's a weak girl, but because they're two people who care about each other. And for movies to be making that step in general is positive and good.
But as a men's rights activist, there's no good way to finish the sentence.
You feel better than you said it.
I do feel better. Oh, I hate this world and all the people that live in it.
But regardless of any of those praises I want to heap on this movie, I still fucking hate the end because it turns into just doomsday, big horseshit fight scenes that really aren't interesting fight scenes.
But
they're just
better.
CG
slapping
against each other.
Better. The Doomsday one looked dumb. I actually enjoyed watching. Like this one, you could follow all the action. Right? I enjoyed it. That last fight. Was it the greatest last fight? No. And then someone needs to find a way to have overpowered superhero people do overpower superhero shit without having 9,000 minions.
I actually thought it was interesting. There's a point in the movie where she goes berserk pretty much, and it reminded me a lot of this Man of Steel movie when the woman just beat up all those soldiers, and we were talking about that back then, about how it's Dragon Ball Z.
Yeah, that's basically what it is.
It's a super overpowered person against nonsense Normies, people,
right?
And they're not doing the dumb thing of slowing down the movie for us.
They just show you in real time what her speed would look like.
And that's great.
And they did some of that in this movie too. And there's a point where she knees a knee, like uses her knee and pushes a guy through a building. And they slowed it down with, that's a pretty good movie.
But
I like that.
And I mean, everyone's been talking about it. My favorite thing about this movie is the No Man's Land sequence. Right? Where Douglas just kind of shrugged at me, being like, "Eh, it's a scene. It's Wonder Woman.
Comic book nonsense." Like, you've seen it. I understand where Douglas is coming from. We've seen 19,000
But it's more of that vibe.
Like, what are you going to do?
Right? Yeah. But there is one thing I wanted to talk about, right. And it comes back to that ending that I didn't quite like. I had this conversation with Ryan the other day because I was talking to him about Wonder Woman. He saw it. I'm like, Brian, what's up with Wonder Woman? And he ended up bringing up this question to me as I brought up a lot of my problems, issues with like the ending and the action. And he's like, look, and let me quote him because I have it written down here. Would you rather a good movie having shoddy effects or a shit movie having incredible effects? I told him we would all unanimously vote the former. I'm here to prove him wrong because he thinks we'll do the latter.
No. I'd take a good movie with shit effects 9 million times over a shitty movie with spectacle. That is why I didn't like The Force Awakens. It's a bad movie with spectacular effects.
Swish. You don't like women in your movies.
Definitely. I don't like female directors. Actresses.
Like goddamn Bigelow. Right.
Again, as a men's, right?
There's no way to finish that sentence.
No good way to end the sentence.
So yeah, that's Wonder Woman.
It's a fun, dumb action movie. What was scary was Andrew for about 30 seconds tricked me into thinking there was two Transformers movies this year.
Yeah, that was good.
I was legit scared. Like, oh shit. Right? Because they kept showing the one trailer and then all of a sudden
there's a solo
there's
trailer?
Just like Knights of the Round Table but with Transformers. Like, Jesus Christ, wait, what is happening? I was like, no, they're making a lot.
Yeah, and I've been avoiding those trailers. So I actually hadn't seen that portion of the trailer, and I was a bit confused as well.
Like, why on earth would I watch a Transformer? Like, I'm not watching that movie. So, only when I go to, in quotes, the theater, let's call it that. The place where I go to watch movies at.
Cinema.
A large room with a shitty screen and terrible sound. Where I go there
and no AC
and throw away my money.
Andrew, I was so upset about that.
I was scared. I'm not going to lie. That frightened me. And that's a pretty good joke, Andrew.
You're welcome.
You're a dick, but that's a pretty good joke.
Mr. eBay himself. Yep.
My joke was the worst. Today, Mr. Sarkeesian put out another feminist frequency video, and he's talking about Muslimistan, and why it is that Americans who routinely shit on everyone else's culture and bigs up their old culture find it difficult to understand other cultures. I don't get it. I don't see how that could have happened. They seem so outgoing and so eager to learn about other cultures. Why would they stereotype any other culture in the worst way? I was watching it, and she does the thing where she brings clips from all these movies, and so you can, like, especially when you do it like that, when she just shows you, like, the bad thing over and over throughout, because she's moved on from video games, she's now going into TV as well.
General pop culture.
Yeah. Kind of reading. And so when you see it like that, you're just like, oh yeah. Oh yeah, all of this. But as she was going through, I said to myself, I mean, the solution is simple. You just do what I do. Watch foreign films. And the second the thought came into my brain, I'm like, Damien. Damien, what are you talking about? Right? You watch foreign films because you're a super nerd. That is not a thing other humans will do. That is like saying, you know, everybody should be great at computers because computers...
Because Google it. Exactly. I know the only reason people in Jamaica watch foreign films is because technically the US is foreign.
Exactly. Right. Yeah, exactly.
Because they were tricked.
Right. I mean, they don't watch local films because they're all terrible. They go to pantomime. Is that film? It's not. It's bad. Sometimes. So I was thinking about, I'm like, alright, so how do we solve this problem? Alright? Because if you put if you do a big push, right, and put these movies from abroad into theaters, right, they'll make 13 cents.
Right.
And then whoever is running the company will be immediately fired. Yes. Just.
The only way they'll make money is if it's like crazy ass kickers.
That right. Right. And so you go, and even then. And so you go, all right, how do you fix this? And I just realized, oh no, Americans are just shitty people. Like, they're just bad people that never gave a shit about the rest of the world. They keep screaming they're number one, even though that statement has been empty for a good long time.
Just out of curiosity, since you brought this up, I pulled up off of Box Office Mojo the listing of top films, top foreign films in U.S. box office earnings.
Right. How much kick-assery is in there?
I'm just going to list the top five.
Can I guess?
Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon.
That's my first guess. Because that movie was big. Is that number one?
Number five. I'm not going to give it away. Number five.
I mean, I could just look.
Is Pan's Labyrinth, which earned $37 million.
Okay.
That's
joke. That's number five.
What?
Number four, Instructions Not Included, which I don't even know that movie, right? Which earned $44
million. I think I know that movie. Who's in that? How foreign is that? Is that like Canada?
Yeah, it's from Mexico. It's a Mexican film.
Well, I guess there's a growing Mexican population.
Andres Vasquez, Hugo Stiglitz.
Stop. We don't know.
Stiglitz.
Let's stop being racist.
Number three, Hero.
That makes sense.
Okay. Which earned $53 million.
Yep.
Number two, Life is Beautiful.
Okay.
Oh, that's impressive.
$7
million. Although that was in the 90s.
Yeah. So. And wait,
number one. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, $128 million.
That's all it made.
Wow.
This is some straight up bullshit.
It did do this in 2000.
Doesn't matter when.
But yeah, that's
in 2000 is when the Spider-Mans were coming out, and those easily made like $300 million.
Three of the top 10 movies are Jet Li films.
Yeah.
So right. Clearly, what you're saying is put Jet Li in a movie, and it will make money in the US. Yeah.
So it's, I mean, it's foreign language in the same way.
Should watch that The One a couple more times.
Don't do that. Jason Statham is in it.
I didn't realize that until I watched it recently.
Yeah. He wasn't the real Jason Statham.
No, he was not. He had hair at the time.
Yeah, and
or he tried to have hair.
And wasn't doing a lot of
kicking. That was clearly some sort of prosthetic.
It's bad.
Jason Statham needs to remain bald at all times.
Yes.
It says a lot of bad shit about a country. And I'm including my country, when all we can see another culture through is through the shitty stereotypes. Right? Like, we love Korean revenge movies, but do. I also know that Korea is a real place. And they don't go around revenging from morning till night.
You sure about that? Because
I'm fairly certain. I know that Samsung is from Korea.
Are you sure that the reason
they did do that pennies thing?
Yes, they did, which is great. But
the Apple.
I'm pretty sure that the reason there is a North Korea and a South Korea
is revenging.
Is that South Korea did something? One of those guys did something so bad that the other one retaliated with revenge, and they had to build a wall and say, stop.
This is where we stop. Nobody can cross it.
Only the fisherman.
Or the fisherman, trust me.
He's making a joke about a movie that you need to watch. Great. At some point.
I figured.
Yeah, I feel I need to try and like that movie because Kim Kiduk is awesome.
The entire time watching this thing.
Also, to give her credit, she's mostly looking at it through American pop culture.
Oh, yeah, no.
So she's not going like, look, guys, just watch foreign movies and you'll be good.
No, I understand. I'm not saying. I don't have a problem with what she's doing. I was just trying to come up. It's the thing I do all the time where I'm like,
this is a problem.
I'm so smart, man. I will fix this problem. And the thing I've gotten better at over the years is like, going through my ideas inside my head and like striking and then finally coming to the actual conclusion, which is this whole world is a shit world. And what I should do is avoid it at all costs. This one. So keep safe and avoid all of it.
But the water world is a
good world. So, like, it is so sad that there are 2 billion people on this planet that one, the most powerful country in the world, just views under just one banner. Just like, you're all terrorists. Like, that is...
What was it I was watching recently? I watched on Netflix the Hasan Minhaj.
Yeah, I saw stand-up. That one.
Mm-hmm. Well, I don't know if I'd call it a stand-up. But
fuck that stand-up.
I like it. I like him and I like it.
I liked it a lot. But one of the things that got me was he was telling the story, mm-hmm. as he was throughout all of that, about when he finally told his father about the night, the mm-hmm. prom night and all the things that happened to him. And the father explained to him that, look, they had fears through what they saw on TV, and all the parents had fears mm-hmm. throughout, and so they acted accordingly. And weirdly enough, mm-hmm. humanizes all of these things, mm-hmm. right? And like, you and I can look at it and be like,
right,
stop being dicks.
Yeah. So, we had a guest come on, and I've told the story before. I mean, he came on and he told the story about this old white man being racist to his son. And the second he said it, like, it gave me new perspective on just how awful racism is. Because it's a thing that I don't understand. So when I am talking to people now in day-to-day life and, like, saying to them that this is how, like, we're so not exposed to this that if someone said that here, like, no one would even start to, like, that would be the last thing that you'd go, oh no, if Andrew said something about a young boy needed to run faster, that's a pretty good joke, have to run from the police, that is a top-notch joke. Because you, like, I tried for days to understand what that feeling would be like, and I cannot. I absolutely can't. I don't have the context to understand what that must feel like. Because even when I'm trying to empathize, there's nothing to draw. Yeah. I just don't have it. And it is frustrating because I understand racism in principle because I'm not a monster. But because I've never had to actually deal with it. Right? Because I was saying to somebody recently, I'm like, what we're going to have to end up doing is just do the thing that no one wants. Just the people who don't want to be near certain people, we just move them. All right, we're going to have 2 segregated zones, and then in the middle are integration. So if you like black people and white people together, you go live there.
Like a good
solution. If there's black people who hate white people, you put them on one side. If there's white people that hate everybody,
I saw a TV show about that. It's on Amazon, and it's about Nazis and Japanese people.
Right, and so you do that. But instead of having people who want to integrate instantly murdered by either side, you section off somewhere in the middle. You're like, hey, if you think black people are people, you go in the middle. You don't stay over there. I'm like, why don't, like, if you live in, as if you're a black person, you live in any state. At this point, I was going to pick one, but if you live in any state and it is a racist shit show and you're afraid to walk on the road, what you should do is leave. Right? But how do, like, those people, that's the only place. Then if someone came to Jamaica now and said, Damien, pack all your shit and leave, I would have a real problem with that. And so that part I understand, but it is the whole racism part, like, I just can't see it, and it is frustrating me more and more because now I have a sister that is going to leave. I have one that already lives over there, and I have one that is leaving to go to Canada. While Canada is less racist, the thing that he said happened in Canada. Right? And my sister lives in Seattle, which is like one of the least racist states. But being least racist doesn't mean no racist. Right? And if I go there and I'm with my niece and someone says something, right? My immediate reaction won't be, that is racist. But I was talking to a friend of mine, Timothy, when he traveled, someone said something to him and he was like, pretty good joke. And then he turned around and saw all of the black people's faces and he went, wait a second, that was racist. And you're like, uh-huh. It's like, wait, 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 wait.
It's like wait, he meant that. That was he's been, and like he saw all other people around him just stone faced and upset, and he's like, what just happened? Right? And then of course now he's upset and he's like, oh wait. If this were Jamaica, I could react in typical Jamaican manner. But this is not Jamaica, so how you'd react? Because when you're upset here, you'd, like, you can lash out and use whatever words or whatever, and the police won't come and tase you 17 times. And there's this chance that they'll kill you. Like, that's just not a thing out here. But that is a real fear. And he's just like, he didn't know, because he was so confused at the time. The people who he was with was upset, and the man was like walking away, and he's just like, do I go punch this fool in the, like, what? What did it do? It's like, I did, and he had to turn to them. He's like, I honestly didn't know. I thought that was a joke. where I'm from, that is a funny joke. It's like, yeah. And so to see, back to movies, to see, like, to know that a country like America has just, like, there's a middle part of the globe that they just pointed to and gone. They just wrote a big T and just, like, you know, writing off all of this. And you hear from actor after actor, they're like, the only person I can play in movies is a terrorist. And it's like, oh, yeah, well, that sucks. Right? Like, but, like, what do you do? Right? You wait for all of the racist people to die? Because Twitter, if you look on Twitter and YouTube comments, it's never. Those aren't all old people. I'll be dead long before all of that shit stops. So I don't know. What I'm going to do is stay here.
I say you take an Aldo Rain stance on it.
Right.
You mark them physically so that you can spot them from a mile away and it can never come off.
But then, how is that better than my segment? Because
you're punishing the bad ones.
Mm-hmm. Right. Keeping all of the races together. All you do is save the people who believe that all of us are people.
No, but just what happened at that point is that when Timothy is presented with someone who is marked, he'll know.
Oh, yeah.
He'll know that's not a joke.
You mad him with that N? R-E for Eminem.
How did Eminem get into this?
Because he's a white man and thinks he's black. I do not miss Eminem at all.
I think he's still making music.
He is. Yes, it's he bad. Is. It is bad.
No, it's a phenomenon.
I remember when I used to look forward every year to the new Eminem album.
We're all children once.
Mm-hmm.
Moving right along.
G-Dep.
Is there anything else anyone wants to bring up? I don't know if you are done with your...
Yeah, no.
Okay, cool.
Stupid. Right. Yeah. So what is this thing about? What do we do on this podcast?
There's one more thing I want to bring up.
Yes.
And it's really just a dumb recommendation that I'm curious Damon might actually enjoy. This last week, I watched this movie by the name of The Wedding Party. It is a Nigerian movie.
That's impossible.
And it is a comedy about a wedding.
Nigeria's Nollywood, right?
Yes.
Okay. That's them.
And it is ridiculous.
Look, I've seen things coming out of Nigeria, and those look extra crazy.
Parts of it actually reminds me of, like, local films,
mm-hmm.
but just amped up in weird ways. So, like, even to the point, I think one of my favorite parts of this movie, there's a point where they bring up a priest to make a prayer at the wedding, and his prayer comes to the effect of, bless this marriage, anyone who doesn't say amen will burn in holy hell, how dare you not say amen, bless this marriage, and it just kind of roll up for the longest while, and it is a ridiculously crazy movie.
That sounds alright.
And I found, like, as a movie that when I press play, it's on Netflix. When I press play, I pressed play begrudgingly, going like, I'm sure this is going to be bad. I was pleasantly surprised. It was a decent movie.
I think, I mean,
not with Netflix, but usually when once movies make it out of the country, it's usually the good ones. They usually say, like, once we hear about them from our side, it's usually the ones that people have vetted already. But that's good. I need to watch movies from more countries because there's always gems out there.
It's my first Nigerian movie.
It will also be my first Nigerian. I've seen clips on the internet of some things that are in, like, they made a Mortal Kombat movie at some point. And, like, with an even lower budget than the original Mortal Kombat movie. But because CG is better, they're able to do to make magic. And it looked ridiculous, but I still didn't go through and go and watch it. So yeah, I'll give that a shot.
So this is when we move into our latest segment.
Yes.
That we have now titled. It's now gotten a title.
Yep.
Pineapple Express.
Pineapple.
Yeah. I just want to back up a little bit.
Yes.
And I found a review for this Wedding Party movie, yes, of which you speak. And one of the points that they're making is that they are focusing on the script or the absence of it. There apparently a lot of negatives on this.
You notice he's doing the same thing he did with Der Samurai, where he just goes to the internet and says things that the internet wrote.
Yep.
I saw the trailer to that movie, though. There's a reason I didn't watch of those.
I'm
Nigerian
not calling it a great
this.
Movie. It is a ridiculous. Like, it is horrible. It is the kind of movie that I think you would like, only because you walk into it with absolutely no expectations, and you walk out with enough dumb things in your head. I'm not saying there aren't bad things in this movie. There are.
Yeah. At no point did Andrew go, Damien, this is going to change your life. Andrew used the words that me and you should gravitate to immediately. This movie be dumb.
Dumb. All right, fair enough. Yes. So are we boarding Pineapple Express?
Yep.
Yes.
Come on, ride the train.
I used to love that song when I was young.
We were all children. Mm-hmm. We were all children.
The song was the greatest.
I mean, let's not get carried away.
And that's not the song. Damien just showed me
where we began.
Where do I begin?
And how far we've
which
come.
Unfortunately you folks didn't get to hear. Actually, fortunately you folks didn't get to hear.
Yep.
That was on a last episode, but that song is horrible. This song, however, that we're going to talk about is great. It is Greetings by Half Pint.
Yep.
This song is, you don't need to know who Half Pint is.
In
unnecessary. This song is iconic.
Diamonds and the money and pearls. I hope you let the music keep playing all the world. No matter what the price.
Yes, in Jamaica, and I'm pretty sure abroad. This song is something that you just hear. It penetrates your space, no matter what generation you are, no matter where you are in this country. It's an old ass song. I think they have it down here as being released in 1983-ish, which means it's probably it's as old as I am. but the song is great, and it's great for the same reasons that Andrew likes that Nigerian movie, because it's fucking dumb. This song has a catchy tune, and essentially has about four lines that just keep repeating until he stops to say shubby dooby 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 doobody, right? the lyrics make no sense, because why is he bringing greetings from Jah to Ragamuffins? Not sure, but
I still don't see where there's lyrics in this song.
Yeah, yeah. But with all that said, this song is great. You could just listen to this over and over again. And this is one of the few times that Pitchfork has appeared to have gotten this one right.
Like, I really do think that this song should be our national anthem. It has in just as much substance as the actual. Like, no one remembers their national anthem. They're not bangers that you listen to anytime. But this song can be played before every single event and it will get everyone hype. Right?
It can it be will.
Yeah. Yes. It can be played at the end of any event to get everyone's like, oh yeah, the show is over, because we're playing. You can play people in and out with the same song. And it never gets old. And it never grates on you. I've heard this song 14 billion times. And even today, when we before we started, Douglas started singing it, and your natural reaction is to also start singing it. And Andrew, who wants nothing to do with this Pineapple Express segment, also started singing it, right? Because you know, like, you know it from inside. Like, it's not stored in your brain, it's stored inside of your body. And it feels like it feels right, and it is just, it perfectly encapsulates what is good and bad about dancehall all in one song, but is so good that you just forgive the shortcoming. Like, I've heard this song so many times, and outside of the hook and the shibby dooby dooby doo by day, there are lines in the middle. He sings like four bars at a time, but I don't know any of them because they're not important. Right? It is just a pause till it goes back to greetings, and it is so good. Like, they could put, what they can do is use the hook as the anthem and then put the normal anthem in as the lines between greetings. Couldn't tell the difference. Wouldn't make any difference. And you'd have a better national anthem, something that everyone can enjoy.
So essentially it'd be like, greetings. You turn off.
Right. And you just do that four bars, but you do it in the same sing-songy vibe as it. So you go, eternal Father, bless our greetings I bring. This song is...
it's great.
It's really... it really is. It really is. Like... because the playoffs are happening, you know, they keep talking about the Mount Rushmore of basketball players.
Football
right.
Competition.
Yeah, man, oh, yeah. Call the playoffs. Confederation. Right. The playoffs, right.
Okay.
And this song, like, this song would be on the Mount Rushmore. If, I mean, Jamaica doesn't have that, because we're not children.
Yeah.
Like, we don't need a full mountain face to remind us of great people that have come before us.
Right? Because that argument can be made. But also, we don't have the skill, patience, or ambition for something like that either.
I mean, it's just never going to happen. Yeah. Oh, we could carve their faces in the side of Blue Mountain. It could be seen from most places in the country. And you go, nah, dog. I'm not paying for that. You're not using taxpayer money for that nonsense. That's fine. Can we build a statue? Also, no. Bob Marley has two. He has two many.
We stopped the statues after the penis. There's no more statues. That was our
emancipation penis. Jesus. For a country that... let's just get this out of the way. Fucks a lot. We are real weird when it comes to public displays of affection.
Mm-hmm.
and public discussions of sex, right? If it's in a dancehall song, that is fine.
Yeah, because Ramping Shop, I mean...
Right, yeah, if you put it in music, that is fine. Mm-hmm. And if you put it in a video, that is also fine.
If you put anything in music, it's fine.
No!
We put something that. We put something to music.
Alright.
Damien.
I mean, sorry,
Andrew. Just please recall, and I'm going to go back to our high school days. Mm-hmm. The furor around... can I make love to a fella in a rush?
Yeah.
So much so he had to insert the comma whenever he performed. No. Yeah.
I went to the theaters to, because I hate myself, but to watch Wonder Woman. And at the start of it, there was a lady singing a song, right? It was a bad song. But the song she was singing didn't match the beat that was there. And I went, well, I guess this is a shitty ad. And at the very end...
Oh, yeah!
It said... stop child abuse. I got very upset. Listen. Damon,
that whole time, and I felt real bad.
Yeah.
That whole time, because the song clearly it was written knowing that this is what it was for. Mm-hmm. And so some of the lines, I turned to Andrew and jokingly said, is this about child abuse? And I kept going a little bit
more. I heard
more,
you say it, I'm like, then, that's impossible.
Exactly. I thought it was impossible. Yeah. Couldn't it? This is what... And it was.
Yeah.
Because apparently that's how we do that. Mm-hmm.
Jamaica has a big child abuse problem because too many men see teenage girls as fair game. There is a crude... thing that I've heard a lot of men say that if there's grass on the pitch, then I'm going to play, which is off. And there's a lot of silence when children are being abused in this country. And it is a very serious topic that we as a country need to address. Here's the thing though, you assholes. It is too serious a topic to sing about, okay? We need to have discussions with adults, and you have to treat them like adults so that they know that they are the adult in the situation and the children are the children, and we have to protect children. This is pandering to God knows who. Who needs this? Nobody. It doesn't help because it's not a good song, right? And even if it were the best song, that is not how you tackle serious issues.
Actually, I feel like it would probably be worse if it was a good song, because then you'd sing along and you may not even realize what you're singing.
We need to treat this situation with the seriousness it deserves. Yep. And not fucking sing. We're not selling chicken. We're right? We're bringing it.
Which, by the way, that does also get sold with a song.
Yeah, everything in this... I've seen life insurance. I've seen financial advice. I've seen security. Everything. And it used to annoy me, but no, I don't watch local TV, so I don't have to care anymore. Right? Car parts, everything. The whole works. Everything you have to sing a song to. But not this. Okay? This doesn't fall into that. Right? It's not a piece of chicken. It's not bottled water. Right? I don't want iCool for life. But instead of iCool, it's door rape.
It's not iCool anymore. It's now Dread.
Oh, I'm sorry.
All right.
I didn't know that.
Is it Dread or is it iDread?
Instead of hydrate, it is iDread.
I think it might
I'm
be,
going to be very upset.
It's another Alaska thing, and that's not what they're advertising in the
iDread.
On Sportsmax.
Why they don't just put high grade? Let's just stop beating up on the bush.
And guess what it is? It's
Gatorade. It's salt water and Kool-Aid. Mm-hmm. Listen, water. That's what Gatorade is. Jamaica, for Christ's sake. Alright? Let's just cut the shit, okay? We as a society need to grow up and tackle these things properly, right? And singing shitty songs about it is not the way.
And everyone should know that because we're adults. Just stop it. God damn it, man. All right, but the song, the dancehall song, it's pretty good. Pretty good.
You know what's pretty good? Is that Curb Your Enthusiasm comes back in October. Apparently it's October 1st. JB Smooth apparently went, announced it at the Roots Picnic this weekend or last weekend or whatever it was. So that's nice. It's nice to know. I really like the show.
When's Game of Thrones coming back? The best show on television?
Next month. July. July 16th.
You get to look forward to it, David.
Definitely. Pre-show?
This month?
Yes. Thank you, Jesus.
I need to start rewatching that again.
Papa writes to Johnny. Johnny can't come home. Johnny can't come home. Johnny can't come home. Papa writes to Johnny. Johnny can't come home. Johnny's been